Welcome
to
March,
although who really knows what month it is at the minute. Welcome to episode 3 of The Last Damn Word. Today we'll be ranting, telling you about what we've been loving in our quarantine time and what we're looking forward to.
We're coming to you from Zoom, Be The Sound's first ever Zoom podcast. We're hoping that you and your families have been keeping safe and happy and healthy, and we're sending you our love.
Yeah, and we hope that you enjoy listening to our nonsense and that it makes you chuckle. Okay, so Zara, I'm going to start with you. Are we ranting or raving this week?
We are ranting.
Okay, what are we ranting about?
I'm so embarrassed. We're ranting about TikTok and how it's ruining my life.
Okay, so you have, as always, 1 minute. 3, 2, 1, go.
Okay, so look, I'm a 20-year-old woman. I was not going to get into this. That app is for children. I'm aware of it. But I also don't want to be one of those people who's just like, I don't understand what the youth are doing. So a couple months ago, I decided, right, just download it to understand what's happening in the world. And then you can stop and you'll be fine. And you'll just understand what these 12-year-olds are doing. And now it's taking up hours and hours and hours of my day. And all I do is give TikTok references and I want to learn all the dances and I just can't throw it back. And oh God, it's terrible. I hate myself, but also it's like the only solace I have in like quarantine land. It's really bad. It's really bad. I sit on my bed and my mum has so much judgment that she's just throwing at me. All my friends hate me.
And you're out of time.
Oh God, it's bad. It's really bad.
Okay, so I actually wanted to ask you about TikTok because I fell into the hole of downloading it because I was like on Instagram seeing all the videos. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to download it. And I spend so much of my morning scrolling through trying to learn Renegade, which is like the hardest one to do, right?
It's oh my so God, hard. The two of you, you're both confessed now. I can feel so much moral superiority. I'm so engaged.
You'll get there, Molly.
You'll get there.
I think it's very close. I think I'm on the slope.
You will. And if there's a time to download it, honestly, the people who managed to not download it during quarantine, like hats off to you. I don't know how you couldn't. It like takes up so much of my quarantine time. But to be fair, like, I think firstly, it has one of the most intuitive algorithms of any app ever. So you really will be able to find stuff that you like. Yeah, the first couple of days you are wading through utter shit. But eventually your For You page does become really, really cool. And I think the other thing that's great about it is we're in a really weird time right now. And you have some of the most isolating feelings going on in your head. But you go on this app and it's like, the whole world is feeling this. And that feels really, really uniting and really like there's this big community out there because it is isolating, but the whole world's going through it. And here's a bunch of young teenagers who are making jokes about it.
What it really makes me want to do though is incorporate my family. You know, like I'm an only child and it makes me feel really depressed that I don't have siblings to do these dances to. So sometimes I'm like, hey dad, do you want to do TikTok? And like learn that foot handshake that they all do. I was like, oh, you know what, that'd be so jokes. But then I feel really dead inside when I'm asking my parents to do TikTok, you know you've reached a new low and that's what you're
Guys,
thinking about.
We have so many months left of this and this is the point we've already got to.
Funny, it's so bad. My younger brother, he's 13, so this app is for him, but he judges me too. And I'm like, bro, we've got to like learn these dances, we're gonna go viral. And he goes, Zara, you're pathetic. And he's right. I so get the feeling dead inside, Amber. It's bad.
Yeah, so can we not put an age on TikTok? I didn't like when you said, oh, he's 13, it's made for him. Like, I'm 20 and I want to do it.
yeah. Sure.
Before we go even further down this rabbit hole, let's pull ourselves out of it. Molly, what have you been loving this month? What has been keeping you sane?
Well, and it takes a lot to keep me sane, I think, at the minute. So this is a real testament to Tiger King, the newest Netflix documentary series. I think even if you've not seen it, you will have heard about it online. It is like such the kind of cultural zeitgeisty minute. I mean, my entire Twitter feed is just people talking about medical news or talking about Tiger King. So I feel says a lot that it's captured the imagination to this extent. So it's a 7-part documentary series on Netflix about Joe Maldonado Passage, also known as Joe Exotic, who is, I think I can say, the most complex, compelling, tragic, hilarious protagonist anyone could want in a documentary. He owns a zoo. I think a zoo is what you would call it. He has about 200 tigers and lions and ligers, which I'd never heard of before, but they're like a hybrid of tigers and lions. In captivity in cages, he charges people to come and see, which in itself is kind of quite ethically and morally dubious. That could be a whole documentary in itself, but the main, and there are lots of points of tension and conflict in this series, but the main bit of tension is between him and Carol Baskin, who is a animal rights, like, kind of, who's also quite morally dubious as well. She has her own like zoo essentially, but that's in the name of rehabilitation and like rescue, although nobody knows where the line is drawn. And basically, and this isn't a spoiler because they begin the series talking about this, but he is now in prison, Joe Exotic, for ordering a hit on Carol to kill her. And so she's been really against his business, and there are so many zoos around. I mean, the show begins with the fact that there are more tigers in captivity in America, like suburban America, than there are in the wild in general. Like, that is insane. It's such an insane world. And yeah, the series is so addictive. It's very much made to abuse the next episode button. And it's weird in a way. I mean, of course, it's really absurd. Like, the characters are just really larger than life and crazy. But there is a real level of like sadness there. It's real poor parts of America, real kind of areas that have got loads of like level of meth, like a bit of really big problem, like meth addiction and poverty. And there are these zoos where a lot of people who are like just come out of prison go to work, and people with lots of problems and lots of quite vulnerable people being exploited. And I think that's why documentaries, I mean, we were talking earlier about how Netflix has really heralded the new age of incredibly made, really like have a real intriguing draw documentaries. And I think it's just a testament to how much of like, I don't know, like the American psyche you can really unpack with this kind of long form documentary. The guy was there for 5 years, and he just went to make a kind of, I think, a little bit of a like not that deep documentary about this crazy guy who, like, he calls himself like a gun-toting gay redneck singer. Also, Joe Exotic has released numerous EPs where he has lots of songs, lots of music videos, but he stayed for 5 years, and over the course of this 5 years, like, there were so many entanglements and arguments and prison and like FBI stings, like, it's insane. But it's incredible. It's a real skilled like exercise. I very highly recommend it. You and Amber, Zara and Amber, need to completely watch it now, devour it all, and then we can chat about it.
I feel very out of this loop.
Yeah.
But I think, well, firstly, it sounds absolutely fascinating. But I think that the way that Netflix has done docuseries, it's really brought about a whole new wave of appreciation for them. I mean, I think especially the murder docuseries, I love them. Who doesn't?
Yeah, when you were mentioning it, I was like, I don't know if you ever saw, like, back in the day, that show, The Lion Man, with that terrible soundtrack. It was on, like, Channel 4. It was, like, the worst thing you'd ever see.
What?
And when I saw, oh, other people know what I'm talking about, for sure. Like, the soundtrack, when it comes on, you'll know. And when I saw The Tiger King, I was like, oh, it's just going to be, like, one of those other things. But now, not hearing you talk about it, I'm like, yeah, The Lion Man. Oh, my God, it was like,
what's
a CD
The Lion
soundtrack.
Man about?
It's literally the same thing. He's like a vet, but just for lions, and he like helps the lions in captivity. Sometimes they're like giving birth, or sometimes they're injured, and it's a very strange program. But it was awful, so I do not recommend it. But now that you're like talking about this, I was like, oh my God, maybe it's going to be similar to that. But it sounds so completely different and so interesting. it's like really captured my interest.
Yeah, it's really not about the tigers. Yeah, but the tigers and the lions aren't really like the main event at all. Like they're not the main most shocking thing. They at times even have to like pull it back to being about what's happening to the lions and the tigers. And I think that's such a testament, the fact that there are hundreds, literally this guy has about 200 tigers in rural Oklahoma, and that is not by any stretch the most outlandish, crazy part of this show. I think that says so much about, and it's seven, I think they're about an hour, 45 minutes an hour, but they go past so quickly. Like, and they could definitely make, I think they're even talking about making a second series about, because there are lots of different players in the big cat game in America, so there were some like subplots. Yeah, it's crazy. It's so good, so good.
One thing that I wanted to jump in with real quick for what we've been loving, though, aside from obviously all this great content that Netflix is giving us it for our sofas, is I just want to shout out John Krasinski. Some good news came out for us yesterday. It's good for ugly crying. It's good for feeling not so terrible. We'll maybe put a link in the description. And yep, I'm being told, yes, we will put a link in the description. It's just good. I think people spreading positivity is something that is so useful right now. It's something that I think we in the Flipside team hopefully will, like, that's our big aim for this time, is to continue to spread positivity as well. And also, there's been 15 years of The Office. So if there's something that you want to binge, if you've watched it before, you know it's worth watching again. And if you haven't watched it before, Molly,
watch it. I feel so attacked from Hong Kong. I felt that. I felt that in my face. Incredible.
Yeah, yeah. It flew all the way over all the mountains and all the seas and slapped you in Islington.
Yeah, it really did. I feel a bit winded now. I'm going to have to sit out there. Yes, I'm definitely going to watch both John Krasinski's Good News and The Office. I've got so much time. Definitely on my list. So I think moving on now to what's the buzz, what's happening at the minute. Albert, do you have any recommendations about stuff coming up or what people can access?
Well, actually, what I've been loving this month is that so many organisations like the National Theatre have been releasing like online streaming. You can watch theatres from the comfort of your home, even though home is everywhere for people right now. But yeah, they've got, starting the 2nd of April, they've got some really cool shows, and they're not being stingy with the shows they're showing either. They've got One Man, Two Governors, which features the Tony Award-winning performance from James Corden, which is fantastic. And they've got some of my absolute favourites. They've got Charlotte Bronte's Jane Eyre the week after, Treasure Island, Twelfth Night. So they've got some things to really be excited for. And I think they're events that you can sit down with the family and enjoy together, which I think is so important now during quarantine. And I think in terms of creativity and productivity, they're just so important. And also something that is super original is the Google Arts and Culture section. I don't know if anyone has ever delved into them, but they have like 2,000 different like historical monuments, galleries and museums that you can literally like walk through, and there's no one in them, so you're not going to have anyone in your way taking pictures, like leaning over you, like walking in your way. I mean, you can do some really cool stuff. You can go to the Guggenheim in New York, so you know, if you've never been traveling, experience that. You can go to Machu Picchu, which is so amazing. You can do like this tour of the Eiffel Tower. It's so cool. And I think it's something that's just so original that they've brought out. And I think it's so important, even for like children, to incorporate children and show them like the different wonders of the world. I think it's so important now, just to remind you of kind of the position we're in, but also everything that there's out there to explore at the moment.
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, there's a piece coming out very soon, written by Amber, about like, it's kind of like a companion piece of loads and loads and loads of things like this, which I would so recommend reading, because I edited it the other day, and I've just been in the Chicago Institute of Art ever since, like on the Google Map. It's so cool. It's amazing. And I think it makes such a broader point as well about what technology can like do for accessibility to arts and culture. Like, for so long, almost like part of the mystique and like the prestige of these galleries was how, not inaccessible, I mean, you had to charge to get in, and there were these really old buildings, and they were in different countries. But now I think if this horrible lockdown and pandemic, you know, is going to have any good things, I think just the increasing accessibility through technology And I mean, another thing we were talking about earlier was the National Emergency Library, which the American Congressional Archive has kind of made available, and it's available for anyone in the world. And there's like 1.2 million books on there, and you can like borrow them for like 2 weeks as an ebook. And there's incredible stuff, like really, so like lots of a book you quite fancied reading. I'm going to try and tackle Ulysses. I think it's time. I think I've got all the time now to
wow, that's quite a big ask.
I know. Yeah, I'm going to be, next podcast, I'm going to be dead and killed by joy. But like, so there's like, if there's ever a book you want to read and you don't really want to, I don't know, spend £7 on Amazon, look through there. There's some really weird cool stuff. There's like loads of weird 1920s Emily Dickinson collections with like weird interpretations of her lesbianism, which is cool to read but also very wow. sad. But there's so much cool stuff. So yeah, the National Emergency Library, we can also link that in our description too.
So, I think yeah. it's so incredible that so many companies are stepping up and making stuff available online. I think people, and we were talking about this earlier as well, but like people are saying, you know, the main priority is the healthcare science. Of course that is the main priority, but I think something that we need to remember and something that we need to prioritize and champion is the fact that, so we're in a crisis state, but our bodies aren't meant to be in this much stress for this much amount of time. So we can't be sitting here for however long this pandemic lasts, just freaking out. And I think that entertainment companies, entertainment groups, and libraries and galleries, and that being available online, trying to get some semblance of normality, trying to exercise our imagination and engage with arts and culture in a new way, in a different way, is so important. And that's why read Amber's piece when it's out. I think that it's something that we're going to be really pushing for, is hey, how are we going to make this weird time as normal and as recognizable as we can? And also, like, I mean, we have time now. Let's figure out what our passions are. Let's explore new things. Let's figure out Emily Dickinson and her lesbianism and what people had to say about it and all that stuff. Like, if not now, then when, kind of thing, right?
No, I agree, that's so well put. And also I think there's something now when like education or like learning new things is like a luxury you can seek out, and there's no grading, and there's no like, I mean, I've seen a lot of tweets and people saying, oh my gosh, now it's time to like do courses and like get a side hustle and try and make money, which I mean, to an extent, it's good use of your time. But I think if you, I mean, we've been like, it's horrible, but gifted with a lot of time to just explore things and see things, the value of themselves, or, and I think absolutely. That's such a great opportunity to just read and lurk and draw and like kind of see what you want to voluntarily spend your time with no pressure of grading or like feeling like you're doing at the expense of something more important and also that can earn you money. Like having this time could be used really well. But also, it doesn't matter if it's not, you know.
I mean, I just think it shows a huge potential for the future of arts and culture. I mean, it's inclusive, it's not, you don't have that whole issue of not being able to go out to the theatre to because of the cost element, or it's inclusive for everyone and for all ages, and it's something everyone can enjoy. And I think that even beyond, hopefully beyond this quarantine period, it can be something that continues, because it's not like, for example, the National Theatre, they're not showing new productions, so there's no like copyright issues, as it were, or they don't want to give away their new shows. But it's also like going back, so doing a bit of a retrospective on different performances, which I think is something they could carry forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that we're in such a historical moment, and it's devastating and all of that, which, you know, I don't really want to get into. I don't think anyone does. But we're going to remember who stepped up. We're going to remember which companies, which people stepped up and tried to make this a little bit better, just a little bit less shit. And I mean, for me and the fam have decided every Thursday we are going to be sitting down watching the play of the week from the National. And look, you're stuck with these people for however long. It is tough. like, if we're all alive at the end of this, if there haven't been any, like, you know, terrible, I don't want to jinx anything, but, like, you know, it is hard to be stuck in four walls with people who you have not lived with for years. So yeah, I mean, we're gonna need all the help we can get to stay sane.
Okay, so just to wrap everything up, Zara, I want to bring it back to you, bring it home to LSC. So what's been going on?
Well, even though we are all at home and the campus is completely empty, or it should be completely empty, we have some things to shout out. The Rogue Notes have made their, what would have been their last concert, they've made that available online. We'll put the link in the description below. But hey, it's great to support LSE Arts and Culture, even if we have to do it virtually. Pulse Radio have made some of their shows remotely available from the comfort of your own home, from the comfort of their own home. So we'll be linking their links below as well, and make sure to tune into Pulse when they do have shows. Also, even though Sister Act sadly had to be cancelled, watch out on the Facebook page, the Drama LSE Facebook page, for clips of parts of their show, which I've been told will be dropping at some point. So we have that to look forward to. But yeah, that's what I have to say about at LSE.
This has been our roundup for March from the review team at The Beaver. If you'd like to get involved or submit reviews, feel free to get in contact with us. And we'll see you in April for our next episode. Bye!
Bye! Thank you so much for listening. We really hope you enjoyed this episode.
This has been The Last Damn Word on March.
The wonderful music has been by Ashley Lyo Marzing. We've been Amber, Molly and Zara.
See you next month for our hot takes on April.
Woo!